Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good, and he is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love it. I love his ways. I love his will. I love his people, and I love what God is up to. He has a perfect plan. Now, the Lord loves us so much, he gives us information. And we'll choose it if we want to, of our own free will. And you know, I believe in coercing our children to know the Lord and helping them see God. Because we know, as parents, we know what they're going to face. And when you see your children grow up and do positive things and have positive results, you know in your heart it was the Word that kept them safe. When you take time to teach your children the Word of God, you're doing your best to raise them, but the Word of God will help you raise them, because children's spirits are lit. Now, sometimes there are those out there, they when they were children, the Lord would even give them visions and sometimes dreams. But when they got older and they passed that age of accountability, which I believe it depends on the child, then all that stops until they get saved. When you get saved, then the good work that God put in you, when you're in faith, it will continue. Some of you have seen visions and great dreams when you were children, but when you grew older and you didn't get saved, all that stopped. Well, God still wants a relationship with you. And he can't make you love him. If you try to marry a woman, if you're a man, and you try to marry a woman, you love her, you care about her, but she don't really love you. That's not going to work out too good. And if you're a woman and you love this guy, you care about him, and you can't make him love you. If you marry him anyway and he don't really love you, it's not going to work out right. And God knows this. That's why he gave us a choice. We're not robots. And God's not going to put a gun in your head and make you get saved. That's not going to happen. He loves you. If you love him, you'll respond. If you love the world, you'll stay in the world. Whatever you love, that's what you're going to do. Whatever you trust, that's what you're going to obey. If you think going to clubs and, you know, just using that for an example, is going to make your life over the top, and going to church is a waste of time, then you're going to go to the club. But when you go out there and get skin up by the world some kind of way, and you realize this ain't really working for me, and you go to a good church and you have appetite for God, so your appetite will change if you give God a chance. One scripture said, taste and see that the Lord is good. When you start receiving knowledge from the Lord and how pure it is, and how you have peace and you have joy, and you begin to trust him, you're gonna stick with him. You're gonna obey him then. And then you'll see the world for what it is, and you'll leave it alone. The world is dangerous, folks. The ways of Satan will not work. He make it look good. When I was a teenager, I loved music. I got in a band. I don't sing well, but I can play drums. Now, listen. When I was coming up, the groups would put more effort into singing worldly songs. The church, you wasn't going to make much money as a musician in church. They just didn't have it to give. And you could be just as good as somebody in Hollywood, or even better. But people wouldn't. You could sing just as good. You could play instruments just as good. You could write songs just as good or better. But people would pay more money to see a secular artist band, you know, secular artists would make more money because they could get crowds to come out. While Christian artists, they didn't have that backing or the support. But I've been to several churches and I've seen some musicians that's better. But they have to work every day, regular old jobs, because they don't have that support. Also, those that love God, the enemy will try to work against them. And when I was in the band, you know, the music industry is very corrupt. They wanted songs that promoted lust, greed, debauchery, anger, anything wrong. If your song, that's what they thought would draw a crowd. But see, they were under Satan's control. Songs that, there are some good songs out there that's secular, that is not gospel, but it'll make people think. Kind of like soft rock was back in the 70s. If you notice, they squeezed those songs out of existence. And the people who wrote those songs, eventually they died out. And the artists who played them, you know, they got older. The upcoming artists, it's not that people weren't writing good songs. It's just the enemy had an exit strategy for them. And people go along with the enemy. I'm saying all this for another point. It's not about music. I'm showing you how the enemy works, how Satan works. The average everyday Joe that have sin in their life, Satan's going to use that sin and control them. Now, with the church, he used principles like fear, unbelief. You know, you have a good idea, you take it to church, tell church people. Sometimes they don't see it and they make light of it. But it's your dream. And you don't know how, you don't have the skill to make it go forward. Now, God will help you. That's why Jesus said he's the author and finisher of your faith. If God puts something in your heart, you make it happen. Don't wait on people that's lukewarm to get on board. Don't even wait on people that love God to get on board. If you're going to do something, do it. The Lord will give you the format. You do the format and you'll get it off the ground. You can't do what the world does because the world loves its own. And you can't depend on not one soul in the world to help you. And you really can't depend on church people to help you either, because they don't have the vision that you have. If God gave you something to do, you got to go to the Lord and he'll show you how to do it. And the angels will help you. Now, you may have to work. If you're a musician, I know a lot of Christian musicians that are artists. The first thing you got to do, beside the fact that you've taken time to learn how to, you learn how to hone your skills, you know, in music, and you love God. Now go in prayer, and the Lord will give you instruction. He'll anoint you, and he'll show you what to do, and he'll add the right people in your life to help you do this. But don't depend on people at all. Depend on the Lord, and he'll help you do it. He will include the right people to help you. And you're going to have to prepare to do whatever it takes. You may have to get a job. You may have to take a job. You may even have to go to school and get another skill to get a good job. Build a studio in your own home. And it may take 5 years. It may take 2 years. I don't know. If you're an artist like that, you keep making songs. Keep going into the Lord in prayer. Serve God where you can. You can make YouTube videos. You don't need the music industry at all. You don't need anything of Satan. And you can't depend on people in church either. But you can do what the Holy Spirit put in your heart. and get it off the ground. Because there's a worldly push against the things that God want to give you. When the Lord started giving me writings, I'm an unknown author. If I would have invested money in the first book I wrote without nobody knowing who I was, who would buy that book? And I didn't want to. My purpose, the Lord showed me a vision a long time ago. Back in 1980, it was 89 or 90, the Lord gave me a vision. And he said, let not my people lack knowledge. My motive is to not let people lack knowledge. I'm not in it for the money at all. But I wanted to be a blessing to people. I said, well, when the Lord started giving me writings, he gave me living letters. They were usually one page, one and a half pages. People will read one and a half pages. But then most people would not read a whole book. If people won't half read the Bible, they're not, why do you think they'll read a whole book? Very few people will read a whole book. Now, I wrote The Cost of Freedom long ago. Very few people I know read it. A few of my cousins read it. People in Radio Land read it. One of my friends recently read it. But the one pages I was sewing. In 1991, I started writing living letters. I was like most Christians, I didn't know what to do with it. So one day a friend of mine said, well, he read it. He said, this is good. Go type this up and make me a copy. So when I made him a copy, it didn't cost much more. I made 100 copies. I passed them out at church. People loved them. Then the Lord gave me another writing. And I wrote it down. And I passed them out. Then he gave me another. And that was a time I was writing something every day. And publishing something every week. And I was sowing. The harvest that I wanted people to read the book. You know, I wanted the Lord to bless me to write and keep ministering that way. And I've been writing for a long time. I've been doing radio since 2006. I haven't written many writings since then, a few. And they're on the, go to newlivingletters.com. And there's a page. I have a few writings on there. One is called Definitions. I believe it'll really bless you. And another one, I have The Cost of Freedom, the first book I wrote, and The Spirit of Egypt, the second book I wrote. And there's some other writings on there as well. But mostly, this website is mostly audio. So check it out. It's going to be a blessing to you. But see, the things of God, now I'm not saying slight people at church. They're just not going to get, most people are not going to help you do what God put in your heart. They don't see it. But don't be offended. They love them. They love you. You love them. You don't need anything from anyone to love them. The reason I say don't depend on people is because they're only going to help so much. But what it takes to get something off the ground, you got to do that. You got to go to the Lord in prayer. And you got to be trained by the Lord. And you got to prepare to do warfare, because Satan's going to try to stop you. And he'll use anybody with a loose tongue to discourage you. So when people talk against what you're doing or don't see the vision, don't take it personally. That's what's going to happen, because there are more people that's lukewarm than true. And lukewarm people infect people that love God. So, if you want to do something, go to the Lord in prayer. Preachers, if you want your church to grow beyond where it's grown, you're going to have to do everything God's way. Stop trying to come up with strategies. Go to the Lord in prayer and do the formats that he gives you. Follow him. And don't depend on anyone for anything, for any reason, anywhere, anytime, forever. Depend on Jesus. And stop trying to get people on board. Love them where they're at. And bless them all you can. God's going to give you the word. And you'll bear fruit. But the format comes from God. Promotion comes from God, not man. Don't forget that, because it's too important. Everywhere you go, you're going to have to trust God. Now, hear me good, because I'm telling the truth. When people don't help you, eventually God will send the right people to help you. People that's trained. See, anybody that do ministry work, they're doing warfare. When our government send people out to war, they train them first. So when you're asking your friends and family, a lot of people don't train how to fight. They don't train to fight and win. They don't train to do spiritual warfare, so they can't help you anyway. Now, some people may want to, but they're still untrained. Let God build a house, or you will labor in vain. So many times people put people in positions in churches because they love them, because they're their friend, they want to give them a job, but they were not trained by God. And they do a disaster for you. They run members off. Because, not because they don't love God, they're just not trained to do what they're trying to do. But those who labor and who go to the Lord in prayer, and they pray and they hear from the Lord, and the Lord talk to them and teach them, they're going to fit. The problem is most people don't do that. So there's a lot of slack. You're going to have to go to God in prayer, and God is going to give you the wisdom and show you how to take up the slack that exists. That's the only way it's going to work. When the Lord taught me about pastoring, he said, you start with a core group. People that God selected. Warriors. That the Lord trained. And you build the ministry from that core group. I saw this. The Lord blessed me to see this happen. And I just watch. First, you got to follow God. You got to keep him first. A friend of mine, we went to see Rod Parsley. His pastor is Rod Parsley. He go up there every year. He's a pastor himself. And Rod Parsley said, a lot of pastors fly from all over the United States spending hundreds of dollars trying to come in to ask me how to build a church. He said, I don't know. You chase God and it'll happen. And I fell out laughing because I had told my friend, all you have to do is follow God and he'll give you the format. But people, for some reason, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear from somebody that's over the top successful. And they'll listen to them, not somebody that don't know, that they don't think they know what they're talking about. But I was trained to know this. Now, Rob Parsh said, I don't know how. I don't know. You just chase God. Now, the Lord taught me how principles work. He trained me to show people how to follow God. But they got to do the following. You can't. I can't give you a format because God didn't sanction me to give you a format. I can share with people the knowledge God gave if he sanctioned me to do that. I only tell people what God give me for them. But they got to get the rest of it in prayer. They got to go to the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit calls you to the ministry or to do or giving you an assignment, don't give up on it. Make it happen. When you run into trouble, it's not going to go the way you think in the first place. So you can scratch that off your list. It's going to go how it's going to go. And you're just going to have to believe God and take him at his word. Step by step. Don't skip a step. Do not skip a step. Do what God is telling you to do and focus on him. Don't focus on the assignment. Focus on Jesus. And do what he say do, and there's no pressure on you. You don't owe anybody an explanation. It's going to take time. God will show you your road. Now, he'll use what you have. When Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, he asked his disciples, he said, what do we have? He had already told them to sit the people down. What do we have? And they came back. We had a boy, a little boy has a lunch. He has two fish and five loaves or five fish and two loaves. However, you know, he had a few fish and a few loaves of bread, and they were small. And Jesus blessed it and fed everybody. So whatever you have, take it to Jesus. He will bless it and give it back to you in abundance. Now, when the Lord gave me this radio assignment, I had a business. I had the ability to fix cars. So I knew how I could see how things were going to go. I knew that the church wasn't going to help me. I'm not talking about my church. I'm talking about the body of Christ. I knew I wasn't going to get much help. And I knew people weren't going to send money in. I wanted them to, but I didn't bother people. So many preachers have made such a mess about money, I just didn't want to do that. I'm not focused on money at all. I'm focusing on doing the work that God gave me, and he'll supply me. Now, because I can fix cars, I asked Pastor Jackson, I said, if you was me, what would you do? He said, I'll fix cars. And I went and got my business license. I said, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to pay taxes and the whole thing. I got license in May. Transient license so I can fix cars. I started the business. I set up. I paid the taxes. Because if you're going to do something, do it right. There's no sense in getting in trouble with the IRS so you can do God's work. Do it right and be done with it. And so I started the business. I started making money and so I could do the radio broadcast. And I just didn't have my job wasn't going to do it. I had child support to pay. My children were younger then and I still had child support. So my job wasn't going to do it. So I had to create a business and work on the side. And guess what? It works. You have to do what God has given you to do. You can't always do like others. You have to do what God give you. And you can still be a blessing when people are doing what God wants them to do. And I love to be a blessing to my church home. I love to be a blessing to other ministers. I love James Robinson. I love St. Jude. I love to donate to them when I can. James Robinson builds wells in all over the world for people that can't help themselves. If you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Spiritual wealth will get on your life. Now, I made everything that I have free so that people can. There are people out there that really love God, but they don't have means right now in this stage of their life. But if they have the word, they're going to eventually come out of the darkness. And they're going to prosper. And they're going to become people that can contribute. Not just to this ministry, but to life, to the life of their children, to the life of others. When you follow God, always look at the big picture. Don't look at what others are doing and how much money they're making and raking in. Some people that rake in a lot of money, they're compromisers. Tares. The Laodicean church had possessions, but they didn't have life. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But they had means because it's stolen. Consider these things. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord. It's the strategy of Satan to make himself look bigger while he gives you nothing. And the people that have compromised, he make them look good and grand, but they have no life. Stay in covenant. Stay in victory.